Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, how are you? What's going on?
Well, I'm just getting ready to enjoy some nice time off, considering that it's been a busy year, and it's that time of year to rest up a little bit. Hopefully you guys get a little break here, too.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. So, Teresa, what did you make of the race at the Ally 400 on Sunday? Pretty long day for you and others at the race.
Speaking of long days.
My goodness.
Very long. Let's just put it this way. I got back home at about 1:15 in the morning.
Good gracious.
Yes. That race took nearly 7 hours. I mean, you know, that's the problem. It's like, you know, we've been wanting some rain. And I still don't know if I got any back at my yard. I just know that the area around the National Super Speedway got a lot of rain in the two-hour rain delay, not to mention the 1 hour or so lightning delay before that. So, yeah, it was a very long day, and yet they still managed to finish out the race. And I'll say this: I tip my hat to all the fans those who stuck around to see the finish of that race. Because it starts hot, and then you get the lightning delay, then you get some racing, and then you get the rain delay. For the people who stuck it out to the end, I tip my hat because you're better you than me. I had to be paid to be out there.
Those who stayed probably had a lot of concessions, too, I would imagine. I saw Justin Bradford had the nachos to keep himself going late night. Yeah.
Hey, I'll just say this. I mean, you know, have your cooler. You know, if you go into the race, to a race, any NASCAR race, you need to have a stocked cooler. You need to, especially in the summer, you've got to have lots of water. And they had made some changes. You know, you could bring in an empty container up to 64 ounces, and they had, you know, water stations, and you know, you could bring your own water in. But they did everything they could to try to help you deal with the heat of the day with misting tents and things like that. And then at a certain point, you just had to be, you know, have that stick-to-itiveness. And if you stuck around, you got treated to a really nice finish. I mean, those final laps were fun to watch.
So we've been talking a lot today, Teresa, about Philip Forsberg. I don't know if you saw I forget the podcast already, but Frank Seravalli. Daily Faceoff podcast, where Frank Seravalli threw out low eights as the asking price on the Forsberg side of things, which was surprising for me to hear. But I guess what's your reaction to that, and where do you think this is going?
When I saw that, I thought, why hasn't this deal been done yet? You know, if that's the case, I mean, we were all thinking he was wanting, you know, wasn't the assumption that, oh, he had to be asking for more than Roman Yossi? You know, how do you fit his salary in, you know, when you've got the captain that you're paying, you know, money to? So it's like, obviously there's some other sticking point, right? You know, because, you know, I was there Thursday when David Poyle told us that, that they could offer 8 years, that, you know, every other team could offer 7, and he had these plans, and, you know, that he had his offer, and, you know, they had theirs, and it's like, it just sounded like they were, you know, still trying to bridge that gap, and it sounds like there's something other than, you know, money average per year that's the hang-up, right?
Yeah, it does sound like that. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Teresa, you know, John Glennon came out with a piece about Treylon Burks and the time that he's missed thus far on the field and how that could affect the Titans and the offense as they move forward here. How big a deal is it in your mind with the OTAs and through minicamp that Treylon Burks' availability has been very limited thus far, and do you think that that could be a big deal come training camp? Let's say he is on the field for training camp. Is it a big deal still at that point? Can you make up for lost time? How do you view the Treylon Burks situation?
Well, he still has time to make up for lost time. Let's be honest. I mean, if he's missing this kind of time in training camp, then that's a huge red flag, and it will be a massive issue because, let's be honest, I mean, he was the guy taken with the pick that they used to, you know, after trading away A.J. Brown. So, you know, there's production that has to come from that position simply because of the draft spot. You know, 18th pick overall, you know, hello, you need that guy to be available. You need that guy to be starting. You need that guy to be catching balls. And right now, I mean, Robert Woods coming off of the ACL that he tore November 12th, he's the guy who has just grabbed the number one spot away, even as he's recovering from an injury. And he's the guy who's been on the field working on that chemistry, communication, timing, and with Ryan Tannehill. And now we don't know what's been happening in meetings, you know, what Burks has been able to do there. But, you know, we all kind of remember that one reason that, you know, Ryan Tannehill really took off when he slid into the starting lineup in October of 2019 is because he'd had so much time, you know, throwing and working with A.J. Brown when A.J. Brown was a rookie that year. And you know, that's where they got a lot of chemistry together. And, you know, it is important for a quarterback and a receiver to be on the same page. Now, that said, they report July 26th. The first game is September 11th. There's plenty of time to work on, you know, the timing, communication, and to get that honed into shape. But to do that, Burks is going to have to be available in training camp. And, you know, if we're seeing similar missing sessions, et cetera, then that's going to be a huge red flag and an issue that the Titans are going to have to try and find a way to overcome. And guess what? That opens up opportunities for the other guys on this roster. You know, Josh Malone is a guy that, you know, the receiver coach Rob Moore told us he was ecstatic by how, you know, and what he's seen out of the Tennessee product. And, you know, just going to have to make sure he does that when the pads are come on. Well, that's a huge opportunity. Nick Westbrook-Akina is a guy who just keeps sticking around making catches. So, you know, Treylon Burks, at a certain point, it is competition, and he's going to have to show he can compete and get on this roster and do what they need him to do.
We're just bouncing around at like everything in the sports world. That's how versatile Therese is. So, but actually, let's keep it in the NFL, though. I want to ask you about Deshaun Watson. Wall Street Journal reporting that, you know, the NFL is going to look for an indefinite suspension, at least a year. How do you think this is going to play out? And I guess another question I have for you, Teresa, is do you feel like the Browns were way beyond anyone else with their offer? I mean, I don't know if we'll ever know that for sure, but it's an interesting thing to think about when you look at how bad it, worse and worse it looks for them.
Well, it does feel like they were almost bidding against themselves. If only for the fact that the $230 million contract is fully guaranteed, you don't see that in the NFL, right? You see big signing bonuses. You see a lot of guaranteed money. To see an entire contract like that guaranteed, that is kind of unprecedented. So in a way, I don't know what other teams were saying, and we thought that Carolina was interested, maybe Seattle was interested. You know, and we're not sure who else may have been in on the bidding, but, you know, they gave up a lot, not just in draft capital, but in money in the contract itself to get this done. And, you know, I mean, it was eye-opening, and everyone's kind of like, what did they just do? And now, you know, and then we just did the dribble, you know. It's like, oh, we thought it was 24 cases. And then, you know, Jenny Renters comes out, and it's like, ooh, 66 people, which, you know, the reason that this one-year indefinite, at least an indefinite suspension of at least a year seems to make sense, at this point, what else is going to come tumbling out of the closet, right?
Yeah.
So this sounds like the NFL giving themselves a chance to put him in timeout officially. Okay, you're going to be indefinitely suspended for at least a year, and that gives them a chance, you know, Watson and his crew to go and deal with the legal issues and try to clean this up and to give him a chance to get back on the field. At this point, you know, I don't think it is a guarantee that he is back on the field, you know, because, again, 40 other women and allegations still have to be dealt with, apparently. So, you know, he's gotten 20 of these settled. And then I saw over the weekend that, you know, that apparently if they're, you know, they may have been able to settle this a lot sooner, but then they get new attorneys on the case and it's like, oh yeah, resubmit your claims. And it's like, You know, Pro Football Talk had a great breakdown on how that was essentially asking the attorney to negotiate against himself, which is never done in the litigation community. And it's like, it just feels like it's been, you know, it has been one thing after another, and it just never gets better for Deshaun Watson. You know, one day he's saying he wants to fight this clear his name, and then a few days later it's like, ooh, 20 lawsuits, all settled. So, you know, just stay tuned. This is, you know, as somebody who covered the whole Pac-Man situation and his hearing with the NFL and then his suspension, this is just, you know, this is on a far different stage, partly because we're talking about quarterback and partly because we're just talking about so many different things that just, yeah, every time you think that it's starting to be under control, the whole situation and the story around Deshaun Watson just kind of explodes even bigger.
Teresa, last thing for you here, as the dust settles on the NBA season with the Warriors winning the title, what do you make of where Memphis sits right now heading into this offseason?
Well, pretty good, because you know they added even more youth on the draft Thursday night. Really liked that they got Kennedy Chandler, really surprised at where they got him, you know, in the second round. I thought he was going to be their first-round pick, and they get two other players before they get to Chandler to keep him there. It feels like, you know, Zach Kleeman, the GM there, made a lot of moves a year ago. It feels like Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones maybe headed to free agency. But they've got so many people on that roster, especially with the four they added last week, that I won't be surprised if there's a lot more moves by Zach Kleeman trying to shape and tweak this roster around the edges. Because you watch the Warriors go and win the title, you've got to be thinking, you know what, we are right there. And we just, this is a young team that just needs more time together and for players to continue growing their games. You know, Grizzly fans should be very, very happy because the future is very bright in Memphis.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Teresa, great stuff as always. Enjoy your time off. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Teresa Walker, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. You can join 1025-1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids, but we can't do it without you. So please, however you can help, head over to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls from Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Thanks to Teresa Walker for joining us in the last segment. Joe, what do you make of where the Grizzlies sit right now? Obviously, great series with the Warriors. Ja Morant gets hurt in that series, and Golden State goes on to win the NBA championship. And if you're Teresa, I think Teresa's right. Like, if you're the Warriors, you got to feel like you're right there. If I could speak today, if you're the Grizzlies, you got to feel like you're right there with the Warriors at this point. How are you feeling if you're Memphis heading into this next season? And do you think any big additions are necessary for the Grizzlies this offseason?
Well, I mentioned earlier in past months or weeks that Miles Bridges might be something interesting to look at. It looks like he's not going to be in Charlotte, although there's a lot of smoke around the Pistons trying to get him so he would come back home to Michigan. But I don't know if that's actually going to happen or not. I loved the idea of someone like him joining this team. But in the draft, they did some interesting stuff. You know, I think Kennedy Chandler probably just replaces Tyus Jones, and Tyus Jones moves on. That'd be my guess. Now, they did trade D'Anthony Melton to move around in the draft, and then they got a couple of interesting players. Jake LaRavia out of Wake Forest, I think he's going to be maybe like the new Kyle Anderson for them, because I think he's probably going to move on too. And he's a really interesting all around, like, older player, really good passer, shooter. So I like that pick. David Roddy is a really interesting one. I'm not sure this is going to work out. I'm fascinated to see if it works out. If you watched the Michigan-Colorado State game before Tennessee in Indy, and that was the game right before Tennessee, so I got a very up-close look at David Roddy for a whole game. And actually, he was dominating Michigan for about a half, but he's only like 6'5". I mean, he's 6'5 and huge, 6'5, 260. But, I mean, he's a 43% guy from three, really good passer. He was their dominant player. Kind of a Grant Williams kind of guy, but a little bit more of a ball handler driver than Williams was. So, like, it's one of those things where a player like that, he could end up actually being really good. But then sometimes that the 6'5 thing and how he just overpowered people at Colorado State just doesn't translate. I mean, most people had him graded as a second-round pick. Memphis obviously loved him, took him in the first. He's going to be interesting. Like, if he works out, if they hit on him, like, I think both those ads could make them better. And I like Chandler. I will say that I think Chandler is going to be a good player in the NBA, and I like the pick. I love the value. Tyus Jones is, if this is how it is, they still could be taking a step back in Chandler's rookie year from Tyus. Yeah. Tyus Jones is very good.
Good player.
You know, that's how a lot of how Memphis had such a good record without Ja Morant. They became a different team. You know, they had to be different offensively. But they had a point guard who, and the one upgrade from Ja to him is that he was a high efficiency 3-point shooter. So is Chandler going to be that right away? I don't know. I mean, his shooting, I think, is way less of a concern than some people said going into college. But are they going to make another add? I don't know. I could see them rolling with this and being really good next year and being a contender.
How surprised were you that Kennedy Chandler fell the second round, 38th overall? Because, I mean, I agree with Teresa. Like, there were some people that thought that he could go in the first round to the Grizzlies, and then he fell to round two, 38 overall. So I agree. Like, it's great value, we think, for the Grizzlies with this pick, but I was pretty surprised he fell the second round, just based on his ability and the way that he played in the second half of the season last year.
I agree. Well, what hurt him, I mean, his stock was said to be going down, and it was, is just in some of the, you know, and just some of the workouts and things like that. I mean, his height just hurt him.
Yeah.
And can't change that. You know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, with Pippen too, with both those guys, you give them both a couple more inches of height and you might be talking about a totally different thing. But in the NBA, they're going to be picked on defensively. So I do think it's ultimately going to end up being good, because I just feel like he's going to get better and better as a shooter, better and better as a passer, playmaker. I mean, you can't possibly have a better mentor in terms of that than Ja Morant. And he's just such a plus athlete, you know. I think he's going to be good, and I think that he was competitive defensively last year. He got better defensively last year. I think he'll do as much as you can do to compensate for the lack of height.
I'm interested to see how that part of it plays out. And I will say, they came out with odds the other day. Like, if Kevin Durant left the Nets, the Grizzlies had the second best odds to get him. I don't think he's going to be leaving the Nets anymore, because Kyrie opted into his contract last night. Now, yesterday, it's funny, because yesterday, you know, there's all this reporting that Lakers, you know, the sign and trade to get Kyrie, he was going to end up with the Lakers. And if he left, like, KD was, he was going to ask for a trade from the Nets. But now that Kyrie's back, I would assume that Kevin Durant's going to hang around with Brooklyn. But, hey, as far as I know, on the reporting on this, Kevin Durant has still not spoken with the front office for the Nets all offseason long at this point. So maybe he's just upset.
He's been too busy, like, yelling at, like, Skip Bayless on Twitter or whoever.
He is doing that. He can be a little sensitive online.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, just stop. And how many burners does he have? Meanwhile, did you see the Russ Westbrook thing with Skip? Yeah. Skip's like, come on into the studio, Russ!
Oh, yeah.
Actually, was like, all right, that's pretty good, Skip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Kevin Durant's going to end up on the Grizzlies, though.
For those who didn't hear, yeah, Skip said something about Russell Westbrook, ripped him
called
on
him
the
Westbrick.
Tweet.
Yeah.
Westbrook, which, I mean,
at I mean, this come
point,
on.
I mean, it's literally true.
Yes.
His name's literally Westbrook. So that was a pretty good clapback. Then you got there's always all this stuff that's beyond the player movement stuff, like people griping each other. Draymond and Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah. I don't
My
get it.
Gosh. Did you see the Perkins video that he then deleted? Jeez. I do feel like, I mean, look, again, everybody thinks I'm a Draymond homer. Fine. But you know what? I will say, just like, go take a couple days at the beach. He does like different podcasts every day.
Yeah, it is okay to take some time off.
Just, I mean, he's going to bask in this, and honestly, he's going to be petty, and I'm here for all that. But also, like, just enjoy it for a day.
Yeah.
Stop sniping at people. What was the basketball question you asked me before I started talking about all this stuff?
Well, I was just saying Kevin Durant is the odds are second best with the Grizzlies if he leaves.
Yeah.
That's where he'll end up.
I do wonder. So I'm going to see Mitch Light, my editor, today at The Athletic, and a huge, huge lifelong Nets fan. I do wonder, for the Nets fans out there, are you excited? I mean, you were about to suck, right? So, I mean, this has got to be the best possible scenario, and why not give it a run? It's still Kyrie and KD. Maybe with, like, lower expectations, they actually make a run next year. Is this possible?
I can't stand Kyrie Irving.
I know you can't. And I get it. He's awfully good.
He is.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. That could be a story. You got to get, you know, you got to have those shooters spotting up. Joey Buckets, whoever. I assume he'll be back. He was hurt this year. I don't know, man. The Nets could be a sneaky contender next year.
Maybe they'll get out of the first round.
2 years ago, they were clearly, 2 years ago, they were clearly going to win it all.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans and the Treylon Burks situation coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. Right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, that's right. This is a huge problem out there, guys. If you're suffering from erectile dysfunction, you're normal, so don't worry about that. You're probably sick of the pill. I believe those days are over. Hillside Medical Clinic uses the most advanced form of something called wave therapy. These pressure waves are delivered through the skin into the blood vessels. They don't hurt, and they cause clinically the blood vessels to open up and expand. We've helped so many men get rid of the ED without the use of pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, I think it's safe to say that this is heavily vetted and clinically shown to work. We have 60 clinical studies, even from Cambridge University, showing it's safe and effective. It was even called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And, Andrew, you've got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
We certainly do. Guys, if you're ready to improve in the bedroom, get rid of those pills, grab your phone, call us now. The exam assessment and ultrasound is free. The gift that produces powerful and pretty immediate results in the bedroom. You will love that. Worth hundreds of dollars. It's totally free to callers now.
You heard it, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. IndyCar is back. Single-day tickets for the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix August 5th through 7th are on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. Enjoy racing, live music, and one big party. Visit MusicCityGP.com for more information. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Darren McCarty, legend of the grind line from the Red Wings back in the day. Was that your favorite? Is documentary the right word? I guess it is. Is that your favorite documentary, sports documentary you've ever watched?
I mean, last night? Man, it might be. Yeah, it might be. You know, the Bad Boys one they did was pretty good. but it was still a little bit. I mean, they made the points they needed to make, but it, one, you had a Kid Rock narrating. Like, really? You had a Kid Rock to narrate? I mean, you just played Eminem. I would have preferred Eminem to narrate. But it was good. No, don't get me wrong. It was good. There was some parts of it where I was like, they still leaned into the whole, like.
Dan Campbell narration? Be awesome.
Oh, man. See, that might have been good. This was pretty amazing. The footage, a lot of stuff I forgot. And it's just, I mean, just the Mark Crawford. I forgot about the whole thing with him and Bowman just going off on each other. I mean, especially Crawford losing his stuff completely on the bench. Bowman just sitting there like, okay, man. Like, it was so unhinged. And then he actually had a hilarious thing in there. It was like the next day we flew back to, like, during a playoff series that they lost to the Red Wings. And he flew back to Colorado. His wife made him go to, like, their daughter's, like, thing at school. And all these people were, like, trying to move away from him. They're like, this guy's
fine. Stay away from this guy.
But it was fantastic. And it was, it's emotional. I mean, the Vladimir Konstantinov stuff is, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah. No question about it.
It's really good.
Looking forward to that conversation with Darren McCarty coming up. Almost said McFarland. We're not talking to him today. Darren McCarty coming up at 9 o'clock.
We got a Darren Mc somebody every
day at 9 o'clock.
Every day at 9. Who's our Darren Mc somebody tomorrow?
Tom Izzo gave us that idea the other day, and we're running with it.
Yeah. You know, we couldn't find enough Izzos. Who would be the next Darren Mc?
I don't know.
There's got to be another famous Darren Mc something that we can have on, right? Let us know on the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com.
That's right. 615-737-1025. John Glennon coming out with a piece at SI.com about Treylon Burks and the time that he's missed thus far, both in OTAs and in minicamp, and how that could affect the Titans as they move forward here. So we talked about this a few minutes ago with Teresa Walker, and I ask you now, Joe Rexrode, how big a deal is the time that Treylon Burks has missed in your mind? And you know, obviously, we'll wait and see what happens at training camp. If he's available, that would be great. If he's not, we got a much bigger problem. But is it a big deal as is right now with the information we have that Treylon Burks has not been available all that much throughout OTAs and in minicamp as well?
Yeah, it's a big deal because it leaves open the possibility that this continues to be an availability issue in camp. Now, if the availability issue ends as soon as camp begins, then this is going to fade as a big deal. Really, like everything in the NFL, like how many times do we ever talk about whatever happened in minicamp or OTAs? I mean, it's important, especially for rookies. Like that, those reps would have been helpful. But if he gets all the reps in camp and he gets all the extra time with Tannehill, there even then, had he had that and a full spring, he still would go into the season on a learning curve and needing to adjust to things and learn things and get better at things. So it's just the big deal is we don't know if he's even going to get the full camp. If he doesn't get that, then we're talking, boy, a real problem here with another first-round pick. Because there's just, based on everything we know about him as a player, terrific talent, and I think he's got a potential to be a very good NFL receiver. But also, I wouldn't say he's as plug and play as some guys coming from college football to the NFL anyway. So the reps are really important.
Well, I thought Glennon, when he was on with us last week, brought up an interesting point that I had not really thought all that much about in terms of Treylon Burks in college at Arkansas. Number one, the offensive system was totally different than what he's going to play in here, but that's not necessarily uncommon at the college level. But he did play a lot in the slot at Arkansas, and I would expect at his size and his skill set and, quite frankly, who he's brought in here to replace, that he's going to play at the X and he's going to be outside a lot. So, you know, it's not like Treylon Burks doesn't have experience playing outside, but he did spend a lot of time in the slot last year. How much of a learning curve is that going to be tacked on to just your traditional learning curve of learning how to play the game at the NFL level? I wonder what that looks like, and obviously – the more time on the field you could have to work on things like that, the better off you'd be if you're Treylon Burks.
Right. And look, maybe that ends up helping him too. But to me, it's like right now, it's just perfect one position. And he's going to be on the outside. And So, you know, it's just about, like, knowing how to do that job. You know, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is here for a year as an undrafted free agent, kind of a surprise. In fact, I need to go back and remember. Did Westbrook-Ikhina get cut and go to the practice squad, or did he actually make the active roster as a rookie? Either way, you know, he was sort of – he didn't have a great camp, but he did enough things to prove himself and cement himself to stay around. And they obviously spent that year, like, learning the heck out of every single thing that you can do at the position of receiver in this offense. And, wow, how much has that benefited him? So, Burks has tremendous examples. You know, he would have been maybe like A.J. Brown's understudy, but Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina are probably as based on everything we know in terms of being a professional and maximizing what you have and doing all the little things to make yourself more valuable, you can't ask for probably two better people than that, right? So that's one of the positives about the Burks situation is that he's got people like that to look at and learn from. But you still have to get reps on the field to be able to do the job.
2 o'clock today, Joe Rexroad says, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, better mentor than A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks.
Oh, my. Oh God, you're right. God, can we erase that? Kevin. So now I'm going into the A.J. Brown was a locker room cancer.
That's right.
Real quick, I got to go back. Was that Dennis who had that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably pay Dennis for his contributions to the show. God, where was that? All right, let me paraphrase. Dennis basically like, well, with Forsberg, God dang it, I'm totally screwing it up, Dennis. Basically said, like, with Forsberg, it'll probably be that he's a locker room cancer like A.J. Brown. It was a great joke.
Says, the way obviously you delivered the Predators are hesitant to sign Forsberg because, much like A.J. Brown, he must be a cancer in the locker room.
Thank
with
you.
With a winky face at the end of it.
Thank you. Thank you. Good joke. I botched it. I'm sorry.
Kevin on the text line says, Burks is a bust. I don't even need to see the kid. I love J-Rob, but it seems like there's some underhanded scheme to walk him right into the wrong first-round pick every year. It's like they have a mole in the scout department. That's coming from Kevin on the text line.
That's a pretty funny second part of the text. The first part might be a little aggressive. Burks a bust.
I don't know if we need to go bust quite yet.
I don't even need to see the kid.
First season has not begun yet. So
I don't even need to see the kid. OTAs, that's everything. The spring is everything. Yeah.
I do like the idea
up on
like
the bust.
Somebody from the Colts, I guess, has infiltrated the Titans scouting department. Is like, you know what? Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley, Treylon Burks, get after it.
Yeah, that back injuries are no big deal.
Yeah.
Ah, North Dakota State, just like the SEC.
Maybe especially that's on the line of scrimmage, there's no difference.
Maybe that's it. Ballard has a mole in the Titans building. My goodness.
Hey. Maybe so. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. More on the Titans coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, the game.
Yeah.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, Joe, the injuries are starting to come out from the Lightning. As to what they were playing through in the cup final.
Ah, yes. It's that time.
Braden Point had a torn quad that will be apparently healed in a few weeks.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. Belmar had a meniscus injury. Anthony Cirelli had an AC joint sprain. He needs surgery.
That was clear.
Yeah. Ryan McDonough mangled his finger, and Kucherov had a meniscus injury as well. So those are a few. I'm interested to see what Chernak had. It looks like he was out there battling too. So.
I mean,
a lot of injuries.
When people say hardest trophy to win, if you're taking into account the battering, I don't think there's any question. Go win a Super Bowl. Hey, football is a brutal, tough sport, but you know you win two or three you win at least three or four games, right, to win that trophy. You got to win 16 games to win this one. At that at that level of physicality and intensity.
Yeah.
Whew. It's like guaranteed at the end of whatever teams go this far, there's a laundry list of abs injuries the other day too.
So how did Brayden Point play two games on a torn quad?
That's a great question. I still don't know how Ryan Ellis, things didn't end well for Ryan Ellis here and all that stuff and faded out, and it was a good deal to move him. But, man, Ryan Ellis in the 17th Stanley Cup final has got to be one of the toughest things I've ever seen an athlete do. How did he move? His knee is torn up, and he's somehow out there still getting to his spots playing, against that team.
Crosby.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Pretty unreal. We'll continue to see what happens on that front. So back to the Treylon Burks discussion. One thing that I think is going to be really interesting to see is, let's say training camp comes along and maybe he's not out there every day, but he's available most days. He gets some good reps in. You're starting to feel okay about him heading into the season. How does Vrabel handle him in the preseason? How much does he play? How deep of a look do you want to take at Treylon Burks in the preseason if you're Mike Vrabel, knowing that Ryan Tannehill's probably not going to play all that much, if at all, in the preseason, knowing that Robert Woods probably isn't going to play in the preseason. Derrick Henry almost assuredly won't play in the preseason. I mean, most of the time, especially the last couple of years, Vrabel has been very cautious with the starters. You would hope that Treylon Burks at some point is going to be a starter or at least a heavy contributor for you this year. So I'm interested to see if he's back on the field at training camp, how deep of a look they take at Treylon Burks in preseason. Because, look, at this point, I think he needs to be on the field as much as he possibly can be heading into the season.
I'm going to reintroduce a stat that I had earlier with some really excellent internet research. We had our show contributor Tom Izzo do this research for us. 70% of ACL injuries, ACL tears, are non-contact. So, to me, you just go out on the third rep of the day and you plant wrong and you tear your ACL in practice. You're going to have a practice week against the Tampa Bay Bucks that is going to be hard-hitting. It's going to be intense. There's going to be some risk involved.
Yep.
That week of practice is not any less risky than playing a half of preseason football. And the benefit of the half of preseason football is, again, seeing different players, seeing different coverages, working on the operational aspects of trying to do that position in a game setting. It's not exactly the same thing. There aren't, developed game plans for you and for the defense, things like that, but there's still value in it. And I think Vrabel will play him. I think Vrabel will, I think should and will, in the first two preseason games, play him at least. I guess I'd go a half. Again, there's plenty of opportunity for injury all through camp. My guess is it'll be more like, like a quarter or so, like maybe three series in both the games or something like that. But the idea that because he's a first-round pick and you don't want to get anybody hurt, at some point you got to play football and get better at football to play it at a high level when it matters, when it counts.
Let me ask you this. As obviously with the way things have gone thus far, I think concern is probably already fair with Treylon Burks just in terms of his availability on the field. But let's say he gets out there in training camp. At what point, if you're a Titans fan, if you're a member of the Titans front office, if he's not starting and or playing a very prominent role on the field when the season begins, how long of a rope does he have there before you start to look around and get concerned? Is it the Giants game? Is it week 5? When do you want to see – want's probably not the right word. When do you need to see Treylon Burks as a heavy contributor to this offense this season?
Well, I think the answer to that is really tied to overall performance, isn't it? If you're winning and Robert Woods and Westbrook Akina and Austin Hooper and Derrick Henry are carrying the load – and you're winning, your defense is great, then you can go a while. What you want to see is at least some involvement, a fair amount of snaps. I think you're probably going to right away see, you're going to see some receiver screens of him, some stuff to get the ball into his hands quickly and see what he can do there. You want to see progress so that by, again, just like A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown eventually started doing more and more through his rookie season. And A.J. Brown was, from the start, oh, wow, look at this guy. What a pick. I mean, it was quick that you knew. You knew in camp for sure. So even with that, it took him some time in an NFL weekly game planning setting to become like a must-have on the field. You want Treylon Burks by like October, November, to be doing more and more and getting better and better at it. And if you're winning along the way, then it's not going to be nearly the issue. If you're not winning along the way and your passing game is suffering, then it's going to be a big problem.
I mean, A.J. Brown in his first game had 3 catches for 100 yards.
He did. For the Titans. But one of those was a catch and run for what, like 60,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was immediately.
Well, and then after that, even he was 3 for 25, 1 for 4, 3 for 94, 2 for 27, 2 for 23, and then
he was involved
right around
heavily.
Yeah, right around midseason, 6 for 64, 4 for 81. He did have a 1 for 17, 4 for 135. Started to get more consistent as the season went on.
Right.
I mean, the Oakland game was nuts. 5 for 153.
Yeah, and it was like Tannehill. And Derrick Henry's in the offensive line and A.J. Brown, like all these things started coming together seriously, you won't see many transformations within a season like that offense. He was a big part of it. But yeah, early on he was get him out there here and there, get the ball in his hands. This is after a tremendous lead up to his rookie season. So now I'm trying to remember who got all the reps back then. I mean, obviously, Corey Davis was here. I mean, they didn't – it's not like they were loaded in the receiver room, but they had some guys they trusted. This situation is like – it's there for you, Treylon, if you can grab the opportunity.
Even though NW1 sitting right there, the opportunity is still there for Treylon Burks.
There's – NFL teams need more than two receivers to contribute.
This is true.
So, a good mentor in NW1, of course. I'm telling you, man, this guy's going to make plays this year.
He makes plays last year, man.
Yeah. I think he's going to make more explosive plays this year.
Really?
Yep. I do. I'm not.
What are we talking here?
I think I've already. Didn't I already put out my projected numbers? I think he'll be about 750 to 800 yards this year.
That's a pretty good year.
It is a good year. Again, he's not going to be a star in this league, but, I mean, talk about somebody who has outperformed their draft profile, their college career. I mean, he's a great example of, like, if you want to, like, maximize yourself, look at that dude and do what that dude does.
Well, I'm still curious how the rest of that room's going to fill out. Like, Westbrook Akina, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks are all on the team. I mean, I would assume Kyle Phillips is probably on the team, but how's the rest of that room going to fill out? Did Des Fitzpatrick take a major step in the offseason? Racy McMath is still there. There's different ways. Josh Malone coming in. Could he snag a spot on this team? I'm really interested to see how the rest of that room shakes out.
Well, and I think that there's absolutely a possibility. I don't know who, because there's not great options. But I still think there's a possibility of a more proven receiver in the NFL being part of that room before the season starts. But I think some of that's dictated by, primarily by Treylon Burks and how available and good he is in camp.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McCarty, Red Wings legend. Joe Rexroad, very excited for this. I'm excited, too, to break down the new E60 documentary that's out, Unrivaled, the rivalry between the Detroit Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche. Really good stuff on ESPN. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.